This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us in the Sports Map Radio, and a good Tuesday morning to you as we continue our previews of the NFC East, the Giants today. We'll have the Cowboys and Eagles later on this week as we gear up for the start of the season, which will be a week from Thursday. This week, it is all college football, as this college football week one schedule starts on Thursday night. One ranked team in action Thursday, and that is Utah. They are hosting the Florida Gators at Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake City. And then games Friday night, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Monday night's Labor Day game pits Clemson, ranked eighth in the preseason poll, against Duke. And that game will be in Durham, North Carolina. Florida State, who is ranked in the top 10, will take on LSU, also in the top 10. That game on Sunday night. That'll be on a neutral site at Camping World Stadium in Orlando. So it's a full slate of games starting from Thursday all the way through to Monday. So what's that, 5 days of college football to kick off the season, and then the NFL on the 7th. But Major League Baseball will continue along. It'll go into its final month of the season. It's a good race in both the American League and the National League for the wild card spot. Arizona holding on to the final wild card spot in the National League. You've got Toronto, I believe, holding on to a wild card spot in the American League. But last night, a team that has dominated Major League Baseball, and that's the Atlanta Braves, were visiting the Colorado Rockies in Denver. And Ronald Acuna Jr. was confronted by two fans who decided to run out on the field to get a picture with him. Now, of course, if you're security, you don't know exactly why they're running onto the field, so you have to stop them anyway. But they were trying to take a selfie with Acuna, putting their arm around the player, so making contact with the player before security was able to run over there and get them. Now, listen, we've had this going on for years and years and years, decades and decades of people running onto the field. There was, of course, you know, the kissing bandit, Morgana, the kissing bandit. A lot of that stuff is sort of innocent fun. And then there was, of course, the seriousness of Monica Seles getting stabbed in the early 90s. So you don't know. People do it on bets. They do it because they're drunk. They're doing it because they want to be on TV.
Yeah, but you know what this looked like? This looked like, and we haven't really seen it in the United States yet, when somebody runs on the field to take a picture with Messi.
Okay.
You know,
right.
Or any type of soccer player. Because usually, you know, these are the type of things, you know, I've normally seen them in Europe where they're just going out there because they want a photo because their fandom is reached a certain point. Like, they're not drunk.
Yeah, that's
they're
what happened last night. Yeah.
Yeah, they're not drunk. They're just, you know, I guess if you want to say they're drunk with emotion because they can't believe their idol's right there.
Right.
You know, I mean, I imagine Morgana would have taken selfies back in the day, but...
Sure. But there was also a point where she had received so much notoriety, you know, she kept getting, like, arrested, you know what I mean? But people, like, even the players knew who she was and what was happening and, you know, whatnot. But it's the scariness of seeing people
it
run
is.
At you for not knowing why they're running at you
and
whatnot.
With this one, too, it was just weird because two people came out.
Yeah, two people came out. So when the first one came out, then security guard came, and then another one came out. And then it was that's a very scary position because look at what's happening now with, like, what happened to Max Homa, for example, where somebody yelled, pull it, on a putt because they had a bet on the putt. You don't know now in a world of open gambling, like, who's lost a bet for you. Like, we hear about players all the time getting messages on social media because they failed to deliver for a fantasy team. Like, you don't know if people are angry at you. You don't know if they're coming out because they're crazy. You don't know if they're coming out to take a selfie. Like, you don't know what's happening. And people have been saying all morning, you know, this should have never happened. How do you prevent it from happening? Without having a security guide on the field with the players. Like, they're reacting to whatever is happening. So if a guy bursts out of nowhere and he runs out to the player, you're going to react to that, but you might be there too late by the time that player gets there. Look, it happened to Monica Seles, right? I mean, like, out of nowhere, this guy comes out and stabs her. Like, they can't, they're trying to look at the crowd and monitor the crowd, but they can't. They can't catch anything, everything, and you can slip past the eyes of these guys and get the early jump. And when you get the early jump, you can do damage. By the time you get to the athlete, you've already done whatever it is that you want to do, right? And look, he was fine. He was okay. He had a great night last night for the Braves. I think he had 4 hits and 5 RBIs. He's an amazing player. He'll probably win the NL MVP. But man, it's scary because you do not know the motivation behind it. But it's, you know, look, in football, it, you know, we always talk about football players like tackling the guy, you know, driving him to the ground, you know, all of that kind of stuff. In baseball, you're kind of wide open. You know, you're kind of hanging out there. You don't have anything else. You're not wearing pads.
No.
You're not wearing a helmet. You're just a guy out there in the outfield. And here they come.
Yeah, I mean, normally not even noticing what's going on behind you because you're focused on the pitch, the batter, and anything like that. So if somebody jumps over, especially the, I mean, I'd say more in the outfield than in the infield.
Yeah.
It's much more dangerous.
And Ronald Acuña Jr., an international player, big time, you know, again, megastar.
The video of the one guy, there was like, it was almost like he was a kid.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The security guard just scooped him up and he was still like, just like, Ronald, I need you. Come here. Come rescue me. It was very strange.
Yeah, very much so.
And that's what I said. It's not that that is something we haven't really seen. Normally, when we see somebody jump on the field, it's because they're drunk and, you know, a buddy dared them to a bet and they're just running around on the field.
Yeah.
Like a squirrel.
What's he? It's just like a mostly a fine and that's it. Like, it's.
I think banishment for life.
Yeah, they get that. They get the banishment for life treatment. Yeah. But then nobody goes to jail for this, right? I mean,
I don't think so.
I've never heard anybody like. He ran on the field during a football game, and he's going to jail for 8 months.
No, because a lot of times, like I mean, and especially, you especially see it in football games where the security guard channels his inner linebacker.
Right, yeah.
And lays him out and, you know, makes all the SportsCenter highlight films, highlight reels and stuff like that. And that guy is like, you know, if you're a cop or something, it's like, oh, you know, he's got a busted nose. He's probably realized he did something wrong. Plus, he's never allowed in here again. Now, do they? I'm curious. Like, you get the banishment for life treatment. It's not like they have a photo of you, right?
I've always wondered that. It's always funny when that happens. Like, you see guys like throwing snowballs at a football game.
Yeah.
And they go, this guy's banned for life. Well, they have your name, so you can't buy tickets, but it doesn't mean you can't go with a buddy's ticket.
Right.
Like when you go to games, let's all be honest here. When you go to games, Joanne and Mike, who are scanning tickets, aren't even looking at your face.
No.
Right?
No.
Like, they're just beep.
Let alone
beep,
do they have
beep,
a.
Beep, and they're letting you in.
Let alone did they have a list of names or a list of photos memorized.
Right.
I mean, I always wonder that because I know I've told this story before, but, you know, when I was younger, a little mischievous me got kicked out of half of Disneyland.
Right. That's right. I remember you telling me this before.
I got
that's
kicked
right.
out of half of Disneyland because I was being stupid on a ride, but I was 13, and that's what 13-year-olds do. They're stupid. And I was only allowed to be in, you know, one part of Disneyland, and then my cousin and I, who got in trouble with me, we decided later on that night, like when it got dark, hey, maybe we'll go over now. But we were so terrified to go over there because we know there's cameras, but are they really going to be looking out for me?
Yeah.
Like, if I all of a sudden, because I got kicked out of Frontierland and Adventureland, so I can only be in Tomorrow and Fantasy.
Oh, my gosh.
So stupid.
That is stupid.
So, you know, but I mean.
Is there like a police guard hanging around like, we told you to not be over here.
That's what I wanted. I mean, they escorted us to the front gates of Frontierland where it looks like, you know, the old wooden fort. And we just went on our merry way. And then, you know, but we entered. We thought we were smart because there was a pathway. I don't know if Disney World's the same way, but at Disneyland, you can go from Fantasyland into Frontierland. So we went that way. There was like a
so the moral of the story, you got did you get caught?
We didn't. No. They never cared.
You went over and nobody cared, right?
They never cared.
So that's what I'm saying. You go to these games where you're banned for life. Yeah, there's a security alert alert on you buying a ticket.
Yeah.
Like through the computer system. But there's no way if you got a ticket, handed a ticket, that it would beep and they would know it was you, unless they were looking at pictures of you like an old wanted poster from like the Wild West days.
Now, at the same time, I'd say this. I got another quick story. My uncle got kicked out of an Italian restaurant. Right?
Right.
He got kicked out of this pizza place because he complained that the pizza was burnt.
And they said, no pizza for you.
And pretty much, yeah, they soup Nazi'd him.
Right.
Almost 25, maybe even 30 years later, he went back because it was the only Italian restaurant in the small town. So, but he would send other people because the pizza was good, but he would always have to send like his my cousin or his wife and my aunt. He'd always have to send them to go get it. He walked into that restaurant. I think it was like 25 years after the fact, after he got thrown out. He walked into that restaurant. The guy behind there goes, "No, you out."
Wow.
25 years later.
That guy's been making pizzas for 25 years and he remembered your uncle.
Yeah.
That's wild. Because it sounds to me like that attitude would have meant he kicked a lot of people out, not just your uncle.
I mean, I think so. I think so.
There's always going to be a complaint about something.
Yeah. But, I mean, they went back and forth because he complained that the, the cheese, sometimes he did burn the cheese a little bit, but it gave it a little something extra. You know, I don't know. But
I don't know. My question would be this. If you got kicked out of a stadium, right, by a team says you can't attend our games, okay, and you attend a game, you can be escorted out, but you can't be prosecuted, can you? That doesn't sound like a law you broke.
I don't
just
think
because
you,
a team
well,
said
is,
you
okay?
can't be you can't it, attend a game.
No, is it trespassing at that point?
Is it trespassing? That's a good point. That's
because
a good point.
Think,
is it trespassing?
I think it's. I think when it gets to that point, I think that's when it becomes trespassing.
I would say, well, since my tax dollars paid for this stadium that you guys got for free, I wouldn't call it trespassing, right? So I would.
True.
That would be my argument. But yeah,
I own part
it doesn't
of that
sound
seat
like
over
it
there.
It wouldn't sound like it would be a major like we're gonna book this guy and fingerprint him because he showed up to a game 3 years after he was banned for life.
I think they would just escort you to the gate.
They would just go,
"Hey,
you want to get out of here?
Yeah.
Can you get out of here for us? Thanks." They caught you.
Make it easy.
Yeah,
you know this was coming down.
Go home. You'll be good. Nice try. There you go. All right, it's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, the good, the bad, and the dumb for your Tuesday. As we continue along on Sports Map Radio, let's get right to the good of the day.
Good of the day could be coming to you many several times throughout the year, football season. Because I'm going to title this one, Sometimes Sour Grapes Produces the Sweetest Wine.
Gotcha.
A bar in Milwaukee called Jack's American Pub will pay your tab whenever the Jets lose a game started by Aaron Rodgers.
So Aaron Rodgers starts a game. They lose. You get your tab paid. Not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
He's not going to lose a lot of games, and you get people coming in thinking that they might get free drinks.
No, I know. I mean, let's face it, right? Over under for Jets losses this year, would you say like six?
I'd say six, about that. Yeah, I expect them to win double digits. I expect them to go at least 11-6.
So I mean,
maybe 10-7, but
so if you
12
do
and
that,
5 seems reasonable.
You're paying the tab for someone six times.
Yeah. Right. That's not bad.
And it's just one day a week.
Yeah.
To them. It's not like, you get the whole thing all week long.
That's right. So come on in. If Aaron Rodgers starts, and yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
but that's
that.
That's why I call this sour grapes, just because, it's Milwaukee. You know why they're doing it.
Sure.
But, hey, they're not betting on him winning.
Yeah. I mean, they don't want him to be successful. This is not a, thanks for everything. Good luck in your new place.
Yeah.
No. You've been toying with the franchise we love for a long time. And now you're gone and acting all happy about it. That's not what we like as fans. We want you to be happy with the team we like.
Yeah.
That the team we root for.
We want you to miss us. And it doesn't look like you're missing us. It looks like you moved on to the new girl and you're completely satisfied with the new girl. Although I guess there's still rumors that he's dating, what's her name? The daughter of the owner for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, yeah. Mallory Edens.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a very good-looking young lady.
They've been spotted together from time to time.
That's right. Well, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? Aaron Rodgers is a playboy.
Yeah.
He's dated all sorts of Danica Patrick. And
but
for a split second to the actress.
Yeah, he's a weird playboy. He's not a Leo playboy.
No, he's not Leonardo DiCaprio.
He doesn't
move
on from one to the next to the next to the next quickly. It's like, wasn't he with Danica for like a couple of years?
Yeah, they dated for a while. Yeah. But Mallory Edens, I mean, that's a power play right there.
That is.
most well quarterback in Wisconsin. That's heir to the throne in Wisconsin.
But that's when you say to them, "It's like, hey, can you guys save some money for the rest of us? You guys don't need to be a match."
That's right. Yeah, no.
You know, you guys should be picking up someone else.
You got it. Yeah, exactly.
So if you are in the Milwaukee area, Jack's American Pub.
Not bad. Well done.
Head there on Sundays.
Enjoy it. All right, what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day is that, well, we have to go back in time a little bit. So you go to all the way back in time to June 19th.
June 19th.
June 19th, when the Rangers, or was it July 19th? I think it was, no, it was July 19th, I'm sorry. And the Rangers held a 10-game lead over the Mariners.
They were great. They were great. Yeah. Out of the gate, they were fantastic.
Today? They are a game back of the Mariners.
That is wild, isn't it?
So, I mean, on the one hand, you and I have been talking about this. You specifically have been wanting to praise the Mariners. You're really happy to see what the Mariners are doing. It's very awesome that they're doing. But on the other hand, we got to look at the Rangers and go, what happened?
Exactly. And you know what? I know it's a long season marathon, not a sprint, but there are two teams in the American League, Tampa Bay and Texas, that look like they were cruising. Even though there was still a couple of months left, they looked like they were unstoppable.
I mean, they were
machines.
Destined for the ALCS. Right now, I mean, would it be the most bizarre scenario if your ALCS was Orioles versus Mariners?
Right, right.
Not in a million years did you pick that combo.
Yeah. Mariners are playing great baseball right now.
They are.
Great baseball.
They are. I mean, they're doing it that small ball way.
Yep.
Where it's just get on base. I mean, you know, you don't really hear much about them, especially, you know, it's West Coast, so you're not going to hear much about them anyways. But they don't have that, you know, prolific, high-profile player like that other team on the other coast does that is just absolutely horrific.
Yeah. Exactly. And the Astros are hanging on to third in the wild card race with Texas, those two teams, with Tampa Bay. I mean, they were... So the creme de la creme right there fighting for wild card position.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Good. Exactly. Astros beat the Red Sox last night. Jose Altuve with the cycle. They scored 10 runs over like the final four innings of the game. They crushed the Red Sox. But Boston is 5.5 back. Toronto's 2.5 back. And everyone else is out, including the Yankees. I mean, they're just gone. 11 games. 11.5. Yuck. But yeah, Seattle's playing well. But Texas, you're 100% right. And they got Max Scherzer at the trade deadline.
They did.
Supposed to bolster that team.
Yeah. Maybe it's Max. Yeah. Max started off with the Mets this year. I mean, all he's had to do is come out and say, you know, Justin did not cause a toxic work environment. I don't know. I don't know if the two of them got along or if that was the whole Mets reason for their demise was having those two A-type personalities in the clubhouse. At the same, I don't know. It's just funny. But, yeah, I thought the Rangers, you know, it wasn't surprising when they jumped out to that early lead and they were just in cruise control. It's like, well, yeah, they went shopping.
Yeah.
They got a lot of great players.
No, they fired John Daniels, general manager, and they brought in Bruce Bochy, and they were playing great at the beginning of the season. Now fighting for a wild card spot.
Yeah.
All right, what is the dumb of the day?
Dumb of the day. I actually have two dumbs of the day.
Okay.
Now I'm going to stick with baseball, first of all. Because this is right up your alley. Then, you know, I have a football one as well. But the one dumb of the day is that Brian Cashman came out and said he will not fire Aaron Boone.
Okay, will Hal Steinbrenner fire Aaron Boone?
That's what he said will be the overruling, I guess, that part.
Yeah.
Is Brian Cashman safe with a job?
No. Neither one of them is safe. Yeah, neither one of them is safe.
And with this statement, does that make Steinbrenner's job a little bit easier?
Yeah,
like if you're the owner of the team and you know like okay this coach like right now don't fire anyone you're terrible just take your lumps and finish the season out.
It is a very weird situation. Here's why, right? Because what you want to make a rational decision on a firing, right? Where a manager, you got to look at everything, right? You got to look at all the circumstances. And sometimes guys get fired as punishment, right? They lose. They were supposed to win. They lose. Rather than we want to go in a different direction or we want a new voice or whatever, coaches get fired because they're basically being punished for what happened, even if there were circumstances beyond their control.
Or they're the scapegoat.
Yeah, they're the scapegoat. They're the reason. Like,
that's the reason why.
So we may have lost our starting quarterback or our pitching wasn't very good or our point guard suffered an injury and whatever. Like anytime a coach – gets fired and there are people pointing going, they lost this guy or this guy. Sometimes they're just fired anyway. because they just have to be. There's somebody has to go down, and it goes down. GMs are it's a little different because a lot of GMs can survive things like this rather than jumping on the "you're fired because we lost." Because GMs, you have to look at everything that they're doing, everything that they wanted to do that couldn't get done. There's a whole bunch of other reasons why. But the reality of it is Brian Cashman, I think if you're Hal Steinbrenner, you go, look, we're not messing around here. This is not a team. Why are we not winning or going to World Series games? Why aren't we even in that group?
Why haven't we in God knows how long?
Yeah, look at all the teams that have gone and played. Look at the Red Sox and the Astros and everybody else. And we haven't been there since 2009. Why? That's a long time for us.
Yeah.
So, and this season is just a mess. I mean, it's a mess. But this is a, Aaron Judge hit a home run last night, broke a 0-for-17 slump. I mean, what are we talking about? 0-for-17?
That always seems to happen. He got paid, Tony.
Right.
And so it's like all of a sudden, you see it every time. Like somebody gets paid, their production drops.
Yep.
It's like they no longer. Yeah.
So
that's why I had to put this in the dump because it's a foregone conclusion that Aaron Boone's going to get fired. Aaron Boone probably is sitting there going, I'm going to get fired.
Yeah. This is Hal Steinbrenner's decision. He will fire Aaron Boone. Yeah. Because Brian Cashman should be worried about Brian Cashman.
But Cashman, right. I mean, but is it bold or just like a dumb move to come out and for Brian Cashman to come out and say, no, I wouldn't fire Aaron Boone. Not his fault.
Depending on the context, I mean, did he say those things? Like, did he say it wasn't his fault? Or?
He didn't say it wasn't his fault.
Okay, because if he's just saying it, he could be just signaling, I don't have the authority in this one. Like, I'm not going to be the one making this decision. Like, it's going to be the boss. Like, I'll do what the boss tells me, but I'm not going to be making the decision. Maybe he's just signaling that. I don't know. But yeah, no, because and the other thing too is, you wouldn't say you'd fire a guy with a month to go. You would. It's not like you're chasing anything, but you still, if you're going to fire a guy, fire him. Do not say you're going to fire him at the end of the season. If the answer was, are you going to fire Brian Cashman at the end of the season? You would say, no, I'm firing him right now. Because if I tell you I'm firing him at the end of the season, then I don't need a bunch of Yankees ticked off at me for the way their season ended. You know, their season is terrible. It's awful. And I said that the coach is getting canned at the end of the manager is getting canned at the end of the year. All right, we got the second dumb coming up as we continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we got one more dumb because you said you had two, right?
Yes.
What is the second dumb of the day?
Second dumb of the day seems to happen a lot, but it just I think it makes more sense when it happens to this team. The Cleveland Browns, all the NFL teams this week are cutting down their rosters to 53 people, right?
Right, today.
So today. So the Cleveland Browns are needing to do the same. Yesterday, they wished journeyman offensive lineman Michael Dunn a very, very happy birthday on their social media page. 2 hours later, they cut him.
Yeah, that's what happens. They're not playing around.
That's what happens when your marketing team and your management team don't communicate with one another.
They should be like, hey, we these people, don't mention them. They got bad news coming.
So
don't talk about how they got like a cute dog or like they're part of some charity event. These names, just keep them off the page.
See, what's great about it though is because I mean, they blasted it all over Twitter that, everyone started commenting on it. So that's where it's just a black eye. I know it happens, and that's why I said I know it happens with all these teams. It just is funnier because it happened to the Browns.
Well, that's what's going to, you know what? Today's the day where you get the, yeah, we'd like to see you for a second. You mind coming to the office? Bring your playbook. It's not us. It's you. It's not you. It's us. It's a numbers game. We really like you. I think you got a lot of potential. If you don't mind, we'll talk to Jack and know, thanks and good luck. You know, remember the movie Moneyball with
yes.
Brad Pitt? Remember he was teaching Jonah Hill how to fire a guy?
Right.
Remember that? He goes, fire me. He goes, no, I'm not going to do this. No, fire me. And he goes, hey, we got to let you go. I just bought a house. Yeah, but, I don't want to take my kids out of school. Now, it's important that you keep kids in school, you know, continuity. And then he goes, stop. This is how you do it. Joe, we got to let you go. Janet's got all the details. These Hard Knock episodes where the coach is like, you are going to be one of the best players in this league.
Right.
You have talent dripping from your fingertips. Teams would be foolish not to put you on. We just can't. It's a numbers game.
Yeah.
But you are going to – sky is bright. It's going to be amazing.
It's – you know, and I guess, you know, what, do you want to hear that? Do you want to see that taking place, that, you know, they're letting him down easy? I mean, you said it before. We're still waiting for that moment where the guy is, like, you know, throwing the playbook at them or saying, you know what?
Yeah.
Screw you guys. I'm keeping this.
That's right.
And
right.
Walking out the door with it.
They all say the same thing. No, thank you, Coach, for the opportunity. Thanks.
Yeah.
I, you know, I was thinking about this. It's funny that you bring this up, because I was thinking about this yesterday after the show where I was talking about Bishop Sycamore, that documentary.
Yeah.
And the more I was looking into it, because I got to be honest with you, I was fascinated with it. I read so many articles about it. I listened to some YouTube people comment on it. Like, I was really diving into how are people feeling about this guy, like this coach. And there was one guy that was kind of talking about this, and he saw it in a different way than I saw it yesterday, which was, you know, we spend a lot of time. He was doing this like broad picture thing. And he said, we spend a lot of time telling our kids they can be anything that they want if they put their hard, if they work hard at it.
Yeah.
But we forgot to tell them that sometimes dreams just don't come true. So we tell them if they work hard, they can do anything. But there is a point where you have to tell somebody you're not going to play in the NFL. It's just not happening. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be. Now, we want our kids to strive because there's a Rudy story there somewhere, right? There's always somebody going, I'll prove everybody wrong, and I'll do it, right?
And it's one of those things like, oh, if it can happen to him, it can happen
right,
to me.
Exactly. But what is happening was these kids, for example, right, they were all older. They were not high school kids. So there wasn't any 15-year-olds on this Bishop Sycamore team or 17-year-olds. They were all kids who technically graduated but needed like a class or two to get their GED. And they still had dreams of playing football. And so some of them were 20. Some of them were 19. And what they were being told was, oh, no, the dream is still there. Like, you can play in the NFL. You just come here and you can go to and nobody pulled them aside and said, kid, did you get any offers from Alabama, Michigan, Ohio? Did anybody ever contact you when you were playing as a high school kid? Because I'm telling you right now, most of the kids that are playing at that level were getting letters in the mail in eighth grade. And if you weren't getting anything, very likely you're not going to play at Alabama. Like, and I know, listen, these kids were trying to better their lives and whatnot, but it's like American Idol. Why do we like watching the first couple of seasons, the first couple of episodes of American Idol? Because there's something about a snotty, overconfident kid who can't sing getting their dreams crushed. But it's actually good for them. You know, it's good for them to like every now and then hear there's the creme de la creme and you're not in the creme de la creme. It doesn't mean you can't be in a band with your buddies. It just means that in this competition, you can't be there. And it's a tough thing to listen to. It's a tough thing to hear. But in the NFL, a lot of these guys that are getting cut today are never going to play in the NFL ever. They're never going to play.
Right.
Some of them are going to get on practice squads and play. Some of them know, look, I got a lot of interest. I was just on this team. It didn't work out. It really was a numbers game.
And
I am good enough to play somewhere else.
Who was the wide receiver in Denver? Kendall
Hinton.
Kendall Hinton. You know, you can be on a practice squad. Like, you know, some of these guys, like, you know, maybe this guy, Michael Dunn, he'll probably find a practice squad somewhere. And then on top of that, after being on that practice squad, maybe there's enough injuries that he gets to call up.
Sure.
Like Kendall Hinton. Like Kendall Hinton, you know.
Absolutely. That's one of the reasons you're going to make it. Like, if you can make it in that, that's why you're on a practice squad, because there's an opportunity to jump right into the, you're going to practice with the first teams and whatnot. You can practice with the team. You're going to be practicing. You're going to be part of preparation and whatnot. But most of these guys do need to hear it from somebody like, hey, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. You don't have the 40 time to be a wide receiver in this league. Like, you don't have the breakaway speed. You want to keep working at it? Keep working at it. But I want to plant something that it's tough to hear, but you need to know what you're lacking, and then you have to figure out if that's something I can improve on or not. And that's it's hard, because guys, they've been groomed for this moment, and then as the filter eliminates so many people, there's a feeling like you're going to be the next one, right? Like, you've made it through this, you've made it through that. You were put on an NFL team when thousands of kids graduated college or decided to venture into the world of professional football. You were on an NFL team getting cut today. But the reality is, some of these guys have no business continuing on as prospects in this league. None. It's a very, very, very unforgiving league. Right, it really is, because people want the Rudy story. But the Rudy, remember the Rudy story. What did Rudy get out of all of that hard work? What did he get out of all of it? All of that hitting, grinding, injuries, work, all that. What did he get? He got an opportunity to be on the field at Notre Dame for a couple of plays. He made a sack. He got carried off the field. Now, that for the people is a lifetime. But that's not what these guys are pursuing. What these guys are pursuing is a job, a steady paycheck, a contract, financial security. And some of these guys are going nowhere near it. All Rudy wanted was, can I just suit up and let my dad see me? That's it.
Honestly,
you give me that, it's all worth it.
And honestly, what Rudy got was an education.
Right. And by the way, that's mentioned in the movie.
Right.
That's mentioned in the movie when somebody says, janitor?
The janitor.
It was the janitor that says, you got an education at Notre Dame.
Stop saying you didn't get nothing.
No, stop saying you didn't get nothing. But for the guys that are getting cut today, that dream is dead. The dream is dead. And if they get sugarcoated, they'll spend more money on workouts, they'll spend more money on trainers, they'll borrow money from family, they'll go to these facilities, they'll work, and it's very, very likely it's not going
to
happen.
Work in a local grocery store.
Yeah.
Just waiting for that opportunity to come up. Or, like, right now, they're getting cut today. Obviously, they're not finding a job this week.
Right.
You know, and they probably have enough money to wait this week out. Maybe some of them have agents. Maybe they don't. But if anything, they're probably collecting all their film and sending it out to 29 other teams today.
And, you know, back to that Bishop Sycamore documentary, one of the kids was saying how when they were getting beat by IMG, he kept saying he was getting hurt. Like, he was the quarterback, and he was getting hurt badly. And he kept saying, I kept going out because if I'm getting beat, I want to show the coaches that I'm balling. And I thought to myself, who told you that that's what they're looking for? Like, they're looking for talent. Like, you may... It's not he stayed in a game in which he was losing 59-0.
They don't go for Rudy.
Right. That's not. Yeah. But I'm thinking that's not his fault. Somewhere, someone on the line told him, if you hang in there with all the injuries, they'll give you a D1 scholarship at Michigan. It's too bad that that's what happened to him.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. Giants preview clock today. We already spoke to Charlotte. I already forgot. Oh, sorry about that.
Carol.
Charlotte Carroll from The Athletic. Drew blank real quick. On the Giants last hour, team 9-7-1. And then, of course, they went to beat Minnesota. This season, some high expectations, obviously. So, I still do recommend watching that documentary, BS High. So, I'm going to find some other ones. I got to find some more documentaries. I love documentaries. You know why I like sports documentaries more than I like others? It's not just because I'm in the sports business. Because I like watching documentaries. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be historical. It can be sports. It can be about something entertaining. I actually like documentaries where I know the story, but I want to know more about the story. Now, don't get me wrong. There's these crime dramas that everybody loves. like most of the time people are watching those crime documentaries, they don't even know what happened. They just have to be told the story. Like there's this woman, she killed her husband, then she killed her boss, and she's on the run. And you may not have heard that story at all, and then here comes the big documentary about it, and you kind of settle in and watch it. But I always gravitate towards documentaries where I go, man, I know that story. I remember that story. I remember how big of a deal that was. And now I want to get the inside story about it. I want to get the perspective of people who were involved in it at the time, a couple of years removed from it, where they have a little bit more perspective, where they can look at a situation and say, you know what, we were wrong on this and we did this incorrectly. We did not see that coming, or we did not see that coming, whatever it may be. Right. I really enjoy that, especially like ones where it's about, the Mets or something, like the 86 Mets. That was really good to have guys years later.
Was that Queens of New York?
Yeah, something like that, right? And just kind of busting about how big that team was, how good that team was, and how it fell apart so quickly, and they should have won more, and they should have done this or that. I've always enjoyed that. Like we were talking about yesterday with Swamp Kings, I think the problem that I had with it was if you do it in a way where everyone knows there's more to the story and you don't bring more to the story, then you're going to get criticized, because your job as a documentarian is to give us the complete picture. And if you angle it in a certain way, which all documentaries are angled, don't get me wrong. There's never an unbiased documentary. Everybody wants to come in at it with a certain angle to it. But the reality is that if you don't address the things everybody's interested in, then you run the risk of being just nothing more than a fluff PR piece, which we can get anywhere. Anybody could do that. The ones that are doing the hard-hitting interviews, the ones that are doing the exposure of something we may not know more about, we may have remembered. For example, I remember the Duke lacrosse case on the ESPN 30 for 30 on Duke lacrosse. That was eye-opening to me, because even as a guy that was working and talking about that story, I wasn't following the case on a day-to-day basis. I wasn't watching the trial, for example. And when I watched the documentary, it was amazing, amazing how those guys were railroaded, absolutely railroaded. And it was really eye-opening, because I kind of remembered like, oh, yeah, there were some things, some evidence came out. They were not guilty, or they dropped the charges. They didn't even get a verdict. The charges got dropped. Once it was exposed that the prosecutor was in it for his own political gain and not, you know, he was, you know, taking evidence and hiding evidence and not giving out evidence and whatnot. Once I saw the documentary that gave me the full complete story, then I'm like, wow, okay, so here's something I knew, but I didn't know how. And now I got how. And so I do recommend, like, Bishop Sycamore, it's a larger issue. It's one of those big picture things where it's not so much about a guy conning some kids and playing football. It is our love affair with a level of football where we throw so much money and attention at it that it's just going to bring in an element of people that are always going to try to con that system, right? There's one aspect of this documentary that is really eye-opening, in that there are going to be more of this as more and more people go, you know what? I saw what that guy did there, but here is how he messed up the con. Here is how he screwed up. He should have done this, 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 and this, and he would have gotten away with it. I'll do it better. We're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars if you land it, if you actually create that. It's that huge. But we have done that as a society. We care about college football in a way that has made us care about the recruiting process. We care about that so much that we deeply care about the next level of athletes that are going to be filling our Saturday stadiums. And that's just a natural byproduct of our fascination with the sport, right? Go back to the NFL. The NFL has always known this about football, is that it trickles all. If you can get the attention to trickle all the way down to high school and even JV level, then you've effectively had interest in this process all the way to the top. No wonder the first round of the draft is a prime time event. Why wouldn't it be? I mean, it's amazing at the time that I thought it was a bad idea when they first announced that. I remember, it's like, I look back at that self, I want to slap that person. Like that version of me that said, this is a dumb idea. Like, I want to go back in the DeLorean and slap that guy.
Yep.
And go, what are you thinking? What are you talking about? You don't think this is a good idea. Why wouldn't it be a good idea? Look, of course it is. This is the one, this is an event that everybody is craving and looking forward to in April. The Masters, the start of baseball, the NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. And one of the most popular events is teams picking players. That's one of the most popular sporting events in the entire month.
It's literally watching 20-something-year-olds getting their first job.
Exactly. And of course it should be prime time. Of course there should be a red carpet. Why? Why not? We care about the process. We've always cared about the process. Right? People subscribe to recruiting services to learn more about it. They love watching that stuff. They love that stuff. It's been like that for a long time. So again, when you're looking at how much money is just being tossed around at a certain level of sport, it's no wonder the con artists come in and try to get their stake their claim. Of course. Right? It's those there are legitimate people out there that if you pay them, they will make tapes of your kid. They will send out those tapes for your kid. They will present your kid to the recruiters that are out there. There's legitimate people that do that. And then there's illegitimate people that do that. There's criminals that do that. And they take your money. And they put out a bad product and whatnot. And that's just the way this is. That's the way it goes. And so now, golly, when NIL, it's going to be even more nuts. How many people, unscrupulous people, are going to get weasel their way into this crazy world? But it got me thinking about when we were just talking about cut day here in the NFL, about how sometimes you need a little bit of reality, and there's nobody giving a lot of people reality. And look, I'll be honest with you. It's easier said than done, right? Because when you're invested in, whether it's your son, whether it's your niece, nephew, whoever it is that is going to the next level, that's trying to go to the next level, you want to hang on to that dream as much as possible too. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
You have to find like an outside agency that can tell you like it is, because mom and dad are always going to believe that Junior can make it. Uncle and aunt always believe that Junior can make it. Sometimes even high school coaches will believe that Junior can make it all the way through until the very, very, very end when he's 25, 26 and no one signed him. And he suddenly realizes, okay, I've did everything I possibly could. But I will say, I as much as that is somewhat needed, I would hate to be somebody that didn't feel like that. Like, let's say they went on and became a bank manager.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, okay, you know what? I got to get a job. I got a degree in this. I work in a bank. And then later on, they're like 35 and they become a bank manager. If they can look at somebody and go, you know what? I was a really good high school athlete. I got to play at this university. I went into a training camp in the NFL and it didn't work out and I got cut. But you know what? It took me until I was about 25 before I realized I wasn't going to get signed. But you know what? I took it to the very end.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't quit at 21. I didn't quit when I first got cut. But by the time I was 25, I kind of woke up and realized I wasn't going to make it. And at that point, I was at peace. Rather than the bank manager that goes, yeah, I got cut by my first NFL team, and then I immediately got out of it, and I'll never know if I could have gotten a second one.
Yep.
I'll never know if I could have gotten on a third one had the second one not worked out. So, yeah, the dream is so strong. It's so strong. It's really hard to let go. All right, we'll talk more about the Giants as we review them and some other news and notes from the NFL, as it is cut day today. 53-man rosters by the end of today for all 32 teams. We'll continue with Wake Up Call.